One of the Labour issues which is playing itself out in public at the moment is around Clover. Clover was delisted from the JSE and about 2 years ago, and has subsequently been taken over by a consortium. And the takeover had to be okayed by the Competition Commission, which the Competition Commission did conditionally. And one of those conditions were around protecting jobs and what the unions involved, which are FAWU, the Food and Allied Workers Union, and the General Industrial Workers Union of South Africa, GIWUSA. What they are saying is that Clover is reneging on those commitments made to the Competition Commission, that they are retrenching people, they are firing people because of their participation in labor action in October of last year. Clover is not saying much other than we have to restructure because we are under significant financial pressure, partly as a result of COVID, partly as a result of other things. So if we want to protect the company and the other jobs, unfortunately, and we're very, very sad about this, we do have to lose some jobs. Wednesday, day before yesterday, protesters entered the Pick and Pay store in OBS and they took Clover products off the shelves. And people who were shopping there were being told by the union members, don't buy Clover products because you are helping a company that is not treating its labor force well. Jonathan Goldberg now joins us, a labor lawyer, CEO at Global Business Solutions. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning to you and your listeners.
Do you have particular knowledge of this case so you can offer an opinion of the rights and wrongs, the pros and cons of what's going on here, or would you like to restrict yourself to more general questions?
I've read all the reports in the press about Clover, and I think there are a couple of issues we can unpack around both the retrenchments and the reduction in pay, as well as the Competition Commission's conditions.
Well, let's start. You pick one that you want to highlight first.
Well, I think firstly, I think one logically has got to go back to Competition Commission's conditions. So if there's conditions in respect of that takeover, those conditions must be met. I think there's no debate around that. And clearly, if they were meant to create X amounts of jobs and they haven't created them, then that's a breach in the Competition Commission and legislature must then take the necessary action. I think on retrenchments, many firms are running with the same problem. COVID's dealt them this awful, terrible blow. And what they're trying to do is two things, both right size in terms of numbers of staff, but also right size in terms of historical anomalies. So this dispute is around two issues to my mind. One, retrenchment and alignment, and two, around a wage and salary dispute. And often they get convoluted. So if you read the reports around this particular situation, there's a 10% demand from the trade unions and a 4% or 4.5% offer from Clover. Now, that's one of the disputes. And of course, that dispute can result in a strike, and there's a strike at the moment. It could be a protected strike. And of course, the retrenchment and right sizing could also end up in a strike because our law allows larger scale retrenchments, people to end up in a strike. So those are the two issues that are at play here. And there's nothing wrong with industrial action. The real big problem in South Africa, and I think all labor market participants agree on this, is we have to have strikes and lockouts in an orderly fashion. Because once you start invading stores and taking its products off the shelf, then we're acting unlawfully. And I think we need to get back to lawful strikes. And to my mind,
the workers in situations like this, Jonathan, say they have no choice. That because the power is concentrated, the resources are concentrated in the hands of management. In order to make their plight visible and audible, and to get people to take them seriously, they really have no choice but to resort to action like the confiscation of goods from shelves.
But that's the point. There's no problem with protesting outside Pick and Pay or ShopRite checkers in respect to that issue. But once you start invading stores, then effectively you're acting unlawfully. And we all got to buy into the fact that we've got a constitution and we've got laws. So there's no problem with a legal strike. There's no problem with a legal protest. But I think once you start stepping over that mark, and for years, at least 30 years in South Africa, we've had strikes that then breach the issues around lawfulness. And that's the real problem. Then it can't be a constitutionally protected strike, in my particular view. So no problem with the strike at a conceptual level, but a real problem in respect of stuff that's illegal. And then the enforcement of legalities is another.
Because we're running out of time, can I ask you one last question? What often happens, and it is what the workers say is happening now, is management says, here's the retrenchment plan. Management doesn't go to the unions and say, we have a problem. This is what our balance sheet looks like at the moment. We can't see a way of restoring a state of health to our balance sheet other than retrenching some of you. What are your thoughts? And then through a process of negotiation and discussion, you come up, you hope, not always, but you hope you come up with a solution which is acceptable to both management and worker.
100% agree. I think there's not enough done in respect of alternatives. And here, of course, we see, if you read the press, that a number of people accepted a voluntary retrenchment package. So people said, well, I'm nearing retirement age, this is a good package, and voluntarily accepted them. I think those are very well-made points. I don't think we do enough in respect of looking at innovative ways to halt and then really try to lessen the impact of retrenchments. 100% agreed. I think it's often too late and often not raised quick enough.
Jonathan Goldberg, thank you very much for those thoughts. Labour lawyer, CEO at Global Business Solutions.